Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and New Jersey voters. Today is the day, right? While many of you may have filled out and submitted your ballots through mail-in voting, 8 o'clock tonight is the deadline to get a ballot postmarked or placed in a designated ballot drop box if you want to avoid the mail. You can also do things the old-fashioned way. There are about 1,700 polling sites open right now, about half the usual number due to the pandemic. You can find your polling location at nj.gov/state/elections. That's nj.gov/state/elections if you're unsure. I'll mention that tonight we'll be doing a primary night special for New Jersey listeners and anybody else who wants to eavesdrop. I'll be hosting tonight at 8 o'clock here on WNYC. And we'll spend some time right now talking about the nature of New Jersey's pandemic primary, how mail-in voting may impact results, what congressional races to look out for in these primaries if you haven't briefed yourself yet. And we'll take your calls on your voting experience and ballot choices in an informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific primary day exit poll. There are ramifications for people not in New Jersey, too, as any election right now that's being done primarily on mail-in is setting a template of success or failure or issues to be dealt with for November. And joining me now to talk about all of this is NJTV, senior news correspondent and host of Chatbox on NJTV's YouTube channel, David Cruz. Hi, David. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian. Nice to see you. Talk to you.
And no, we're not doing this on Zoom. Maybe that'll be next month, and then we could see each other on the radio. But listeners, have you voted in the New Jersey primary? Call in for our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific primary day exit poll. Electioneering, welcome here. Who did you vote for and why? But also, and very importantly this year, how's your voting experience in person or absentee been? This is important modeling to see what works or doesn't work before November. As I mentioned before, 646-435-7280. Listeners, did you vote by mail? What was that process like? Did your ballot show up on time? Did it look the way you expected? Was it clear? 646-435-7280, or has anybody gone out to the polls in person yet today? What was that like? What precautions are you taking? Did they seem to be physically distancing people and doing other things in a safe way? 646-435-7280. So, David, let's talk about how most people are casting their ballots. How does mail-in voting change things, as far as you could tell at this point?
Well, I will first say that it's interesting, the evolution of what we now call vote-by-mail ballots. You made a reference to absentee ballots. That's originally how most people voted by mail. If you couldn't be at the polls on election day, you were allowed to have an absentee ballot, so-called. But then, you know, that evolved into voting by mail, and it's something that Democrats really latched onto a lot more than Republicans. And so the sense generally is that Democrats will benefit mostly from the vote-by-mail process. But I think an interesting thing to look at in this election will be how much the supposedly more social media-savvy progressives do in a new landscape where you don't have the same kind of requirements for physical teams to be out on the street and get out the vote efforts and that sort of thing. You can have been getting out the vote, as it were, for weeks now so far in New Jersey. So it really is a kind of, obviously, to call it a weird election day is an understatement, but so much of what is happening today and will happen today is precedent setting that will hopefully, A, survive it, and B, have something to look back on, pro and con, for when the votes really, really count in November.
Let's take a phone call. David in West Orange, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener and a fan.
Thank you.
I voted this morning in Essex County in West Orange, and my polling place was very well organized, and the staff was friendly and organized, and it was pretty much very empty, but I was able to fill out my ballot and hand it in without any issues this morning.
Glad to hear it. What kinds of safety precautions were they taking, David?
Everyone was wearing masks, including security and staff. There was plenty of hand sanitizer, and social distancing measures were also in place.
I'm just curious, were they giving out masks if people didn't have them?
No, I didn't see any masks, like as far as the station was concerned, but when I did sign in, the woman did ask me to sanitize my hands before signing the registration booklet and moving on to the station where I was collected my paperwork. And then there was another table where I filled out all of my information, and there was plenty of hand sanitizer there, and we were all directed out to a different exit than when we entered.
David, thank you very much. So there's an in-person voter. Let's take a call from somebody who voted by mail. Lauren in Dover, you're on WNYC. Lauren, thanks a lot for calling.
Hi, thank you for having me. I filled out my vote by mail. I dropped it off this morning in Morristown. I felt like it could have been a little bit more clear as far as what to do. I drove to my husband's work to get his signature just because I had heard that they were, because that's super strict. I voted for Bernie, and I'm really happy to be able to support the post office by doing vote by mail. So I'm excited in that way.
What was the confusing part?
It felt like it wasn't really, the information wasn't spread as much as far as the media, as far as how to do it, but just, when you're filling it out, just where you have to tape and kind of if you're a, because I was dropping it off for someone, I forget what that word is, it was kind of like piece by piece, and I felt like it was most clear on the ballot as far as, than anywhere else.
So any advice for anybody who's doing it today and dropping it off in the mail or in a box today?
Make sure you look on the ballot itself, because your ballot will have a specific place for you to drop it off. I didn't want to go to the polls because they say it's provisional when you vote in person. So I would suggest to look at your... to look at your actual ballot and make sure you kind of go through, there's like step 1 through 4, and they have certain parts that are bolded, and there it will tell you where to drop it off. And I think you could drop it up until 48 hours after the polls close. So I would say that's the best place to look.
Great.
For information.
Lauren, thank you so much. Call us again. So David Cruz from NJTV, she raised a number of issues there. One, just to fact check what she said at the very end, can people drop off these ballots 48 hours after the polls close?
That's not my understanding. My understanding is that in order to be counted, they have to be postmarked by today, by the end of the day today. That's
right.
My understanding.
That was my understanding from what I've read also, or dropped off at one of the drop-off locations. And are those the same as the polling places? So people, if they want to do it by paper ballot or by what's considered mail-in or absentee ballot, can either go to a mailbox to get it postmarked today or go to some kind of drop-off. And is that the same as the polling places?
They're not the same as the polling places. In some towns there may be more drop-off locations than polling places. They won't be at the same place. But you can drop it into your local blue mailbox, assuming that the mail hasn't been picked up from there yet. So you want to check and see at the mailbox when they pick up the mail, because if they pick it up tomorrow, if they've already made their pickup today, then you're out of luck.
And Lauren mentioned that if you go vote in person, it's going to be on what they call a provisional ballot, which I think she was saying she wasn't as confident that it would actually get counted. What can you say about that?
In fact, it won't be counted unless they need those ballots to pick a winner. So your provisional ballot is a non-ballot unless there are more or sufficient number of provisional ballots that it may change the outcome of a close election.
Oh, that's so interesting. So it's almost the opposite of what we typically see, which is they count all the votes that are done in person on election day, per se. And then sometimes in some places, I don't know if in New Jersey, they only count the absentee ballots if there are enough to swing, you know, the result of the race.
Correct.
Are you saying it's the opposite? They're going to count all these mail-in or absentee ballots, and then they're only going to count the day of voting if it's close enough?
No. The provisional ballots, the ballots where people vote that are provisional, that they will not be counted unless their numbers are sufficient to change potentially the course of a close race.
So it's not that everybody who goes to the polls today is going to be casting what they call a provisional ballot.
Not everybody will be, but only if you, for some reason, you couldn't vote by mail. In other words, if you were, I don't know, for whatever reason, you couldn't vote by mail and you needed to come to a polling place, people with physical disabilities or some other such reason, that those votes at the polling places won't be counted unless they're absolutely necessary to affect the outcome of the race.
Cindy in Montclair, you're on WNYC. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, good morning. So I had no trouble at all voting by mail. I followed the directions very specifically. I checked them over several times before I signed anything or sealed anything. But I have to say that I learned that lesson, unfortunately, during the mail-in ballot in May for our local elections. I had sealed the envelope, the mailing envelope, before I had done something that needed to be done on the ballot. And so I desperately tried to steam the envelope open so that I could do it correctly. I was unable to do that, so unfortunately my vote did not get cast because I messed up.
Mm-hmm.
But this time around, I was very careful, and I would say that, you know, following it step by step, it is pretty clear, and I'm hoping it was a success.
All right, Cindy, I hope so too, and thanks for talking about what went wrong in May, because that's a good cautionary tale for people dealing with those envelopes and pieces of paper. John in Bergenfield, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hey, Brian. I'm the troubleshooter for the county, so I go around to different polling stations during the course of the day to make sure everything's going okay.
Uh-huh.
And this is sort of, to me, a dry run for November. We don't know what's going to happen, and I'm not saying that Bergen County has decided what's going to happen. I don't think anybody has. But you do have until 8 o'clock tonight to get your ballot postmarked, and I suggest going to a post office. But more importantly, they have 7 days for the post office to deliver that to the county. And the only other question I really had was, my understanding of provisional ballots are they are there in case somebody may have mailed in their ballot and they're not sure, and so this is here, and then they'll look at, say, did we get a mail-in ballot from a voter, or but we also have a provisional ballot, and they'll just throw out the provisional ballot. But it's sort of my understanding is they're all counted, and Mr. Cruz said that they may not be used unless they're needed. But my understanding is it's sort of to see if, because we're not sure who's mailed it in and who hasn't, and if a voter can't remember, then they do a provisional.
John, thank you. Thank you for those things. And David, I think that I had also read that in a certain respect, and I don't want to use the technical term provisional incorrectly here, maybe I am, but in a certain respect, all the ballots will be provisional today because so many people are voting by mail that they're going to check to make sure that people haven't voted twice. If in fact they show up today, they're gonna kind of wait and see if that same voter sent in an absentee ballot. Is that your understanding?
I mean, I the way I understand it, that is also a yes. But what we said before about those ballots only being counted if they're going to be needed, that is my understanding from a county clerk that I spoke to just earlier today, as a matter of fact.
Let's talk about some of the races. And in particular, two of the Democratic congressional primaries in North Jersey that are considered hot, 8th Congressional District, 14-year, I believe, incumbent, Albie Osiris, I think 14 is the right number, has a strong challenger by many reports, Hector Oseguera. Talk about that race, and if people are still making up their mind, what's the Osiris argument and what's the Oseguera argument?
Well, I mean, for me, this is the most interesting of the races because it's Hudson County, which is, of course, where I live. But also, one of the cases where a progressive, though he may not win, will have actually made quite a name for himself by challenging an incumbent who has been coasting, really, you know, with machine support for, as you said, seven terms. I think that Oseguera's argument is he's an AOC Democrat, and that this is a district of poor and working class immigrant population that needs progressive policies. Osiris, you know, one of the arguments that Oseguera's camp makes is that he was a Republican and ran as a Republican for mayor way back when, and still has kind of rightist leanings, especially for Hudson County and especially for his district. Albie Osiris has not been one of the, you know, shining lights of the Democratic Party. He is certainly well liked in his district, and my expectation is that he will win again. But if there is a campaign that you could look at that, and an observer could say that that's a tired kind of candidate or tired campaign, I think you'd have to look at the Osiris campaign and suggest that that is a good way to describe them.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know, if you're in the district, the 8th Congressional District, right outside the city, most of it is in Hudson County, as David was saying. This is Jersey City, Hoboken, Elizabeth.
Union City.
Areas, right. Go ahead, you go.
Yeah, Union City, West New York, those are the big towns. And there, West New York is where Albie Osiris was a mayor, and he was also Speaker of the New Jersey Assembly from that district as well.
And I think some of Essex County, north of Newark,
yeah,
if I'm not mistaken. And in the 5th Congressional District, the other interesting one in North Jersey, R.T. Krybek is the challenger against Josh Gottheimer. How similar a dynamic is that to what you just described in the Osiris and Oseguera race?
Well, I think the dynamic is similar in terms of the kind of philosophical differences between the campaigns. I think that Artie Krybek has a tougher time being an unabashed progressive in this district because it does include portions of the northwest part of the state, which is whatever passes for Trump country in New Jersey. It's there in northwest Jersey. And so what Gottheimer has been able to do is to walk that line between being close enough to the president on certain issues to appease the Trumpists in the district, but also still be a Democrat. He's part of the Problem Solvers Caucus, which is this kind of centrist caucus in the Congress. And so he's been able to walk that line pretty well. And the district, although there is some indication that it has, you know, in some of, if you get a little more east in the district, that it's become a little more progressive. I think that I'd say it's maybe become a little more moderate as opposed to being conservative. Progressives are hoping that that's enough of a change in the district to get someone like Artie Krybek elected in this primary. I just don't see it. I think that Josh Gottheimer is in, I guess this is his second term. He'll be running for his third term. He's learning how to become a pretty good congressman. He raises a lot of money. And he is also able to use the very limited media resources in that area in terms of news. He knows how to work that angle as well. So he's becoming a professional congressman. And while I think that that might not be the best way to describe someone in the current day, but I think in this district, still, someone who's a professional congressman is going to be able to hold off a challenge from a progressive. But
interesting. It's a very interesting district, the 5th. This is a sprawling district, parts of Bergen, Sussex, Warren, and Passaic counties. So some of it is pretty close to the city. Some of it is pretty far west in North Jersey. This, some of you may remember, was the district represented for a long time by Scott Garrett, Republican, who was really conservative. I mean, a very Tea Party-ish Republican right here in North Jersey. And Gottheimer beat him in 2016, which is why you're raising questions about whether the district is progressive enough to support a more progressive nominee. Do you expect, in either case, a strong Republican challenger in this district? So many districts are not competitive right now past the primary. Is the 5th district, with its Scott Garrett history and Josh Gottheimer history, still competitive?
I think that, you know, Josh Gottheimer feels like the kind of congressman like Albie O'Searles, for instance. He didn't walk into his seat in Congress. He faced a tough challenge initially. But once you become the congressman and you know that your job is 24 hours a day fundraising and strategic public events and, you know, that sort of thing, you get into a rhythm, and then it's hard to kind of, the system is set up so that it's hard to kind of unseat someone once they become the congressperson.
A lot of incumbents. Although one of the things that the Kreibich camp supporters say about Josh Gottheimer, you know, an attack line is he's Donald Trump's favorite Democrat in the House. And they say that because he voted for a border security measure that a lot of Democrats did not vote for, correct?
Yes. I think that, you know, in a lot of that district, he'll take that as a compliment, that he's Donald Trump's favorite Democrat.
Wow.
Because he'll turn around and say, hey, I work with whoever, you know, works in the best interest of New Jersey, et cetera. So I think that district is still leaning right enough that Josh Gottheimer will be able to hold on to at least a Democratic nomination there. And I don't think that there's enough of a Republican challenge to unseat him.
Stephen in Hawthorne, you're on WNYC. Hi, Stephen.
Hello. Thanks for taking the call. I got my mail-in ballot, and I filled out the step-by-step instructions, put the ballot in the inner envelope that's got the certificate of mail-in voter flap that you sign. I put that in the other envelope that has the prepaid postage on it, walked it to the post office, put it in the box, and yesterday it came back. I didn't realize it was what I mailed in, because it did have my address on the back. It's pre-printed with your name and address that shines through, that shows through the window of the outer envelope. So instead of mailing it to the address, Passaic County Board of Elections, where the prepaid postage is, it actually got sent to my address again on the back.
So what's the lesson
envelope,
in
which
that?
Which has the step-by-step.
What's the lesson in that for other voters?
If you get your an envelope back with your address, and it's the side of the envelope that's got the step-by-step instructions, I don't know what to do with it. I opened it. Again, I thought I was getting a duplicate ballot, so I opened it. So now I have an opened envelope with my sealed envelope inside with my ballot. I'm not sure what to do with that. But I'm wondering if this is just an isolated incident or whether this is something that other people have experienced.
David, anything on that?
Well, I don't. All I can say is I suggest that you call the county clerk now while you can to get some official advice on that. By the way, if I could just throw in a plug for my colleague Colleen O'Day at njspotlight.com. She has a terrific explainer on how to fill out your ballot and what is the right way and the wrong way to do that. So if you haven't filled it out yet, you may want to check that out to make sure you do it the right way.
At njspotlight.com. And we also have a voter guide. Listeners, you can go to wnyc.org/voter guide for our New Jersey primary day voter guide. You know, check multiple sources if you're trying to learn as much as you can about the candidates at the last minute, or even the processes of voting, or where your polling places are. Because remember, most of the polling places that you voted at in the past are not open today. There's only, is it one per municipality? Is that the rote formula, David?
My understanding is one per municipality at minimum.
And
then according to the discretion of the county clerks, a certain number based on the population, et cetera.
Yeah, so it's not like there's going to be one place to vote in all of Newark or something like that.
Right. I will just say, Brian, as a quick aside, today happens to be the day when New Jersey is reopening its Motor Vehicle Commission offices. And there are lines literally stretching for blocks to get into the MVC to renew your registration, et cetera. And so somehow that's allowed under the current state of emergency in New Jersey, but an election that wouldn't draw half that crowd is somehow not allowed. It's just one of the crazy things about election time this year.
Yeah. Well, then maybe finish with a thought sort of related to that as a political analyst. Do you think that COVID and the social justice protests and Governor Murphy's, I think, increase in popularity as well as visibility around his COVID response are playing into these primaries today in ways that could affect the outcome that may have not been in play a few months ago?
I think that you may see that most in the second district, where the governor has come out in support of Amy Kennedy in what is essentially a proxy war between the governor's side and George Norcross and the Southern Democratic organization, the South Jersey Democratic organization. I think that if the governor has any coattails, as it were, or any ability to affect the outcome of an election, it will be there, where he has at the very least come out strongly for Amy Kennedy. So, I mean, if you wanted to watch a race and see what impact it may have come 2021 or anything like that, I think it would be that race there, where the governor has invested whatever political capital he may have, although there's certain evidence to suggest that his 70% popularity, according to the last poll, might not be as hardcore as it would appear.
NJTV News senior correspondent and host of Chatbox on NJTV's YouTube channel, David Cruz. David, happy primary day. Thank you so much for joining us and for all the clarity.
Same to you, Brian. Good to talk to you.